All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
A choice right now, between fear and love. Sister Ron.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expounding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound.
Very.
Extending reality.
Welcome to Expanding Reality. I am your host, Brandon Thomas. On this incredibly cool episode, Joe Lustica comes back to give us the absolute money shot. We're talking legal tender, House Joint Resolution 192, lawful money. What is money? That's what we're talking about here, guys. And it's absolutely fascinating and a deep well of rabbit hole that you are not going to want to miss. I also want to join us and support your favorite show for the afterthought there, where Tam Chaville comes by and we talk about flat earth, freaking time travel, simulation, the moon, guitars, like all kinds of shit, guys. So really nothing to do with what Joe is normally famous for talking about, but we have a blast and it is an awesome time. So again, great way to support your favorite show. Link down there. You get access to all the things, and it's in the show description. But for now, and without any further ado, get to this incredibly cool conversation with Joe Lustica. Joe Lustica, welcoming back to the show, brother. It's so cool to see you, man. How you been?
Good. How you doing?
Good, dude. Every day above ground's a phenomenal day. I'm pumped to get to talk to you, man. Bree was going to join us, but she sends her regards. It's just going to be me and you, brother, in the audience. We are going to have an amazing chat, and I've got a surprise for us for the afterthought. So best way to support your favorite show, guys, link down in the show description for Patreon there. That's where you can find all of the expanded content that we do, have access to the hangouts, as well as the afterthoughts, the little bonus stuff we do for you here. And we're going to get into some time travel. We're going to nerd out in this one, Joe, and I'm excited about it, dude, already. But, dude, it's so cool to see you. You are a bright light in my life right now. I've given up really my focus on aliens or Bigfoot or anything like cool and, you know, mysterious or anything like that. I've really been focused on and been attentive to the things that you are teaching and what you are understanding in your world, the power that it's given you and the people that you've been mentoring. And I'm a grateful student of yours. So this is just going to continue our Sovereignty Rangers series here, guys. And just to let you know, that's linked down below. It's just a little group of things that we have over there on Patreon where you can find all of this type of content. Joe, dude, today we're going to talk money. All right. The money shot. So give it to us, boy. Brother. What the fuck is money? You know, do people even know what the hell this thing is? And
I don't think people know. People think they know what it means. But in reality, people don't understand what that actually is. It's very interesting. Like if I hold up this dollar bill, you go, oh yeah, that's money. But basically it's just a agreed upon way of exchanging, right? Hey, I need you to do something for me. I'll give you some of this and you do the thing for me. And you go, sure. Because you know that if I give this to you, you can go and exchange this for something that you need. So money in our current society is just an idea that's backed by confidence, okay? To for something that can be traded, right? For other goods or services. So I give this to you. You take this because you know you can trade this for another good or service later on. And you'll then provide me the service or the goods that I'm looking for. All right. Constitutionally, this right here is actually not money. Okay. This is called legal tender and they won't call it money. Go ahead and check your dollar bill and see if it says money anywhere on here. It is not. They call it legal tender, which is not the same. It's just a way to offset some kind of debt. Okay. Now, in the Constitution, okay, the Constitution provides, they have a provision in there in the U.S. Constitution that states what you're supposed to use to pay debts, right? I'm sure you already know what this is, and probably some of your listeners already know. Well, I usually have people take a guess, but I guess we're not going to be able to do that today. All right.
Just me and you, brother.
I'm so used to that. I know. All right.
These big glass settings with hundreds of people in it, you know?
So everyone understands, I'm used to like class settings where I ask a general question and wait for someone to give an answer, but that's not going to happen here. All right. So,
I was going to throw one in the chat, you know, I didn't want to be disrespectful and interrupt,
thank
you know?
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution states that, that only gold and silver coin will be used in tender for payments of debts. All right. So gold and silver coin. So something like this, right? Now this is a silver coin. So this is constitutional money. And it says it's $1 of silver. Okay. So $1 of silver. That's what this is. Real silver. All right. Then what they did was, because, I mean, imagine it. If you're going to go buy something like $50, you're going to be carrying around 50 of these things, right? In your pocket. You know, that's not very, that's not workable. So what they did was the United States started issuing these things, silver certificates. Okay. And these silver certificates, if you look, it says silver certificate. All right. Look at this side over here. Okay. And I know it's probably coming a little blurry, but I'll just read it for everyone. It says, this certificate is legal tender for all debts, public or private. See? So they're telling you that this is not money itself, but it represents this. And if you look on the bottom here, $1 in silver payable to bearer on demand. That's what it says on the bottom of these. So these are very interesting. If you look at the back, it's relatively the same. It's like almost exactly the same. Okay. But this was issued by the U.S. Treasury, okay? This is made by the U.S. Treasury. This, however, if you look on the top, it's called Federal Reserve Note, and it's originally issued by the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private for-profit company, okay? And then it's sealed by the U.S. Treasury as approved to be used for legal tender. Okay, so it goes through these motions of they print it, they approve it, then they give it to us. And then they tax us on this. This is taxable because this is borrowed funds. This, however, is not. Now, that's interesting because what they're taxing is debt instruments. That's what they tax. They can't tax you on silver coins, okay? The IRS will take gold and silver U.S. currency as payment for a debt, but they're not really taxing this stuff. Okay. And the value of it can change too. So if you were to melt it down, right, the value of this would still be $1, but it wouldn't be one of these dollars. Like these are not the same, right? Which one would you rather have?
The one on the silver one, man. Honestly, yeah. Not the FRN ever.
FRNs, Federal Reserve Note, floating rate notes.
Floating rate notes.
Yeah, well, the think about it like this, right? This piece of silver hasn't changed. This thing is from 1924. So it's 101 years old, okay, this coin. It hasn't changed in 101 years. So the value of this is intrinsic because the silver still has its value. But this can't buy you what it could buy you 10 years ago.
And it comes a debt. That's what subtotals are when you get to a register. That's why it's not a dollar. It's a $1.08 or whatever, depending on where you live, because there's debt attached to using that damn thing.
Right. And on top of that, this is borrowed. So this is borrowed from the Federal Reserve. We have to pay it back. So this is like, when you think about it, it's just kind of dumb how they've been operating. But they're doing it because the banking cartel took over the United States. Okay.
I guess you want to talk that about one. That 1933 and HJR 192 and all?
Well, all right. By the time 1933, House Joint Resolution 192, which is more commonly recognized as Public Law 7310. I could pull it up if you want.
Absolutely. Video version located down below, guys. If I know Joe, he's going to be pulling up all kinds of stuff. So I highly recommend you check it out.
Yeah, I can. So, yeah, I'll just pull it up real quick. But
sure.
Maybe I'll just run you guys through it just so you can see what I'm doing. So what I do is I go to this website, uscode.house.gov, table 3, which is the statutes at large. Okay. And this happened in 1933. So because I know where to look, I know what to look for. All right. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here. Let's go to. Let's try this one. Nah, that's not the right one. Let's go to 70.
Now, what are all those? Just statutory codes or just ID numbers?
These are the books of all the laws that were passed by Congress. So these are the actual laws. Like when people talk about the U.S. codes, mm-hmm. the U.S. codes are technically not law. Okay. What they are is just, it's just kind of taking out, it's like putting things into context, right? Like the statutes at large is what the actual laws are, right? I'll show you. It's in the U.S. Constitution. If we look at the U.S. Constitution, and by the way, your state does this too. Okay, so the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution, let's see. It doesn't have it, huh? Okay, fine. So when we, if we look through the Constitution, let's see, be it in, no. Well, it's supposed to be in here. I don't see it. Okay, all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose or concur with amendments as on other bills. So they're talking about bills, right? Before it becomes a law. Okay, when it becomes a law, it goes into a book called the Statutes at Large. Okay, those statutes at large are the laws for the country. Now, they can always be challenged. You can always contest whether a law is constitutional or not. But the U.S. codes, however, you know, let's take one U.S. code, one. Let's just do that. Okay. Like if we look at the U.S. codes, see all these titles, it's just scooping out the statutes at large and putting them into a book with all the other appropriate subjects, right? Like Title 12 is banking. But what they'll do is they'll pass an act. So you have a bill. What they do is that it goes through the legislation, it gets passed, the president approves it, becomes an act, and then they can find it, stick it somewhere in one of these U.S. codes. So in here, it tells you that there's a difference between the codes and the statutes. The codes don't have an enabling clause, right, or an enacting clause, but the statutes do, and they have to have, that's what I was going to show you in the Constitution. That it has to be enacted in order for it to be valid. The U.S. codes do not have any kind of enacting clause on them at all, which do not make them law, but just evidence that there is a law somewhere.
Got you. Okay? Beautifully said. Beautifully said.
All right. Now, I'm going to see and say, like here, here's an example. I was reading something else. This is not pertaining, but it says, and be it further enacted. So this is evidence that this is a law here. Okay. This thing right there. That's true law. Okay. Now, of course, we can always go back and test the constitutionality of it or challenge it, but you have to get into a situation like, for example, the Real ID Act, right? A lot of people don't like this thing. I'm saying it's unconstitutional because it's putting a restriction on the right to travel. Everyone has the right to travel. You can travel freely from state to state in this country unencumbered. The Real ID Act is actually a violation of that right. And as far as if no one challenges it, then it'll stay on the books as a law. But what someone has to do is they have to have a complaint. So they need to have a reason. So let's say you buy a train ticket from New York City to LA and you get on the train and they say, sir, we need to get your real ID before you can get on the train. And we can't issue you a refund. We're going to kick you off the train. Now you lose your ride. and let's say you were moving to LA to go get a new job, right? Let's say you just got hired, big job out there, and now you lost the job because you couldn't make the train because you don't have the real ID. Well, you can sue the federal government now because now you have injury. And you can claim that the Real ID Act not only just injured you, but it violated your rights, okay? And if you get that through federal court, the federal court may rule in your favor. If they don't, the Supreme Court would probably rule in your favor saying, yeah, you have a right to travel, and your right to travel does not need any kind of permit or license in order to do so. They will always agree with that. They've ruled on that unconditionally. Anything that you have a right to do in our country, you don't need a license or permit to do, okay, to exercise that right. And they've unconditionally ruled on that over the last 100 and something years. So the Real ID Act, once it gets challenged by in the federal court, or if it has to go to the Supreme Court, they'll recognize the right to travel, and the Real ID would be considered an unconstitutional law.
Do the people then that were affected by that, while it was a law or that reacted in a way that made them feel that they were now more prepared for it to be enacted, even though it unconstitutional, they still try to act in good faith just so that, like you said, they could get the job and keep it. Are they due any recourse for that?
Yes, they actually would get compensated for their loss. So let's say they lost their job. Okay. They were going to make this amount of money a month. You could say, well, how about I want to get that at least 1 year of that, because I planned on being at that company for at least 1 year. And so I lost that much of income plus the ticket. Right. The money for the ticket, which is probably maybe $300 or $400 or something for a plane ticket or a train ticket cross country. So that and the loss of that. And then, of course, legal fees. Right. Whatever other things it cost you, your time that it took you to put the court case together, if you hired lawyers or not, you know, what that cost, all that other stuff. And if you're doing the legal work yourself, you have a right to charge however much you want for your time. So let's say it took you 30 hours to do the research, you charge $1,500 an hour. You can tack that on to your fee, and then the federal government would have to pay you that out as damages. Mm.
It's just interesting the way you put it. It's more empowering when I talk to you about stuff like this. You know, it's not as scary. It's actually very interesting. It makes me think, why would they do something so silly if they're just going to turn around and get reamed? And I think most of it is due to fear. And a lot of people just won't turn around and stand up or know their rights. And so they just don't worry about it.
Yeah, the bottom rung is that people don't know their rights. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the bottom rung of the entire thing, right? Is they just don't know they have that right. Then the second thing is that people think that we live in a democracy. Okay. And people don't understand the difference between a democracy and a republic. A democracy is a majority rules, right? 51% of the vote decides for the other 49%. Okay. In a republic, your rights and your property are guaranteed and protected. Even if 99% wants to get your stuff, you're protected because you have the right to your personal property. You have a right to your rights. Having rights is a right, okay? That's yours, and that can't be taken away by any governmental agency. That's a republic.
Beautiful. You have an awesome video on this on your Rumble. I will be linking it, guys. Check out his Rumble down there and all the other ways to find him. Your new TikTok, congratulations, for getting shut down. How many times have you gotten kicked off that thing?
Just the one. I had the one channel, and I thought I was doing pretty good. And
you were doing great.
And yeah, I thought that they weren't going to take it down because I always source everything I talk about. But once they started taking down videos where I was showing the laws, I was like, all right, they've just made a decision that they don't care. They're going to disregard how the laws are written and what the laws say and just start taking it down. And they cited integrity as a reason for taking it down. Then they just closed my account, never explained why.
I heard people talking about it wasn't even a Chinese-owned company to begin with. And most shareholders, through some Cayman Islands trust, and there was only a fraction of them that were Chinese at all, and it was some San Francisco-based company or Silicon Valley-based headquartered out there.
Like a Singaporean guy or something like that owned it.
Yeah.
But I think Meta now owns it. I don't know.
Yeah, a whole that shutdown thing was fucking weird, right? Anyway, we won't go into TikTok. Money. Speaking of fucking money and TikTok and shit like this, how can we make money work for us? Better understand it. Tell us what money is.
Okay, so money is really just, it's like I said, it's an idea backed by confidence. It's something that can be traded for goods and services. So this is what happened. If you look at these here, okay. Now this is called Chapter 48. Okay, this is the 73rd Congress. Okay, so 73rd Congress, page 112, Chapter 48. So we call it Chapter 48. Page 112, and it's a joint resolution, so they're trying to resolve something. Okay, and it says to assure uniform value to the coins and currencies of the United States. And they say that the whereas the holding of dealing in gold affect the public interest and are therefore subject to property regulation restriction, and that whereas the existing emergency, which they don't tell you which emergency it is, and the emergency was originally, it was actually the Great Depression, but what this emergency actually is, it's the bondholders not being able to get paid on the bonds. That was the actual emergency that created this problem, because they couldn't pay them. What are they supposed to pay them in? Gold. They can't pay them. So they said the existing emergency has disclosed the provisions of obligations which purport to give the obligee a right to require payment in gold, see? Mm-hmm. Or in a particular kind of coin or currency in the United States. Right, it is obstructing the power of Congress to regulate the value of the money. So they're saying, well, this is, you know, this whole gold issue is kind of hard for us to regulate the value of money, right? And it says that they deem it inconsistent with the declared policy of Congress to mean at all times the equal power of every dollar, okay? But it doesn't make any sense what they're saying, because it should be the same unless they're messing around with the, you know, the amounts of gold and silver they're putting in the coins. They'd have to be doing it, because who else is minting this stuff, right? So they're making this claim, which, you know, obviously once you test it, you can't back it up. And here we have resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled. This creates law, okay? That every provision contained in or made with respect to any obligation which purports to give an obligee a right to require payment in gold or a particular kind of coin or currency or in an amount of money of the United States measured thereby is to be declared to be against public policy. So what they're telling you right there is that any rule or anything that says that you have a right to be paid in gold or any kind of coin or currency is actually now we're going to make that illegal. So you say, I want to get paid in US dollars. You say, well, that's illegal, right? Well, gold, especially gold. Gold is the one they get rid of in all of these contracts. So gold is out of the question now. Gold is no longer the lawful money of the United States by this one little act here. Okay. Now what they say is that every obligation heretofore or hereafter incurred, so before or after this moment, right? They like to use fancy words to trip people up so people can't read it. All right. This is a trick. This is what a lot of like oppressive or suppressive organizations will do, or in groups. What they'll do is they'll use a lot of language to confuse people. So people kind of read and go, oh, okay, I don't know. It doesn't really say anything, does it? But it says a lot. Heretofore, so from before this moment to now, and hereafter, from this moment on, right? Every obligation incurred. Whether or not any such provision is contained therein or about or made with respect thereto. See how they're doing that? They keep using these words to kind of mess around with people. Like, hey, guess what? They're just trying to throw people off and confuse them. But they're saying every obligation, right, shall be discharged upon payment dollar for dollar in any coin or currency at which at the time of payment is legal tender for public and private debts. They gave us these, which was a copy of the silver certificate. And they knew that people would kind of miss this, right? Like, I mean, look, they made this on purpose to be similar. Here's the silver certificates that were floating around back then. And then they started issuing these. Now, most of, if you hand it over to someone like this, well, who knows which one you're getting?
Hmm.
Right? You can't tell. You flip it this way. It's the same. And then when you kind of open it, you just go, oh, okay, yeah, George Washington. See, by glance, they're the same. But on deeper inspection, whoops, I can't do this right.
You nailed it. No, you nailed it.
On deeper inspection, you notice that there's something quite different about them. The subtle differences mean a lot. But that was kind of what they were doing. They started issuing these out more because they already had these out, right? Remember, 1913 was the Federal Reserve Act. So they started printing these out and started using these. Okay, so these were already in circulation. All they did was start dropping off. Well, they got rid of all the gold. And what they did was they actually had bank holiday. They shut all the banks down. The comptroller of the U.S. currency, he's like in charge of the money, had his agents go into all the banks across America, open up all the lock boxes, take all the gold out, and replace it with these Federal Reserve notes. So when people came in to go get their gold next week, all they found were these. They stole the money. They literally just stole it from everybody. They put out on the radios and stuff like that, telling people that they had to turn in all their gold, that they weren't allowed to have it anymore because the president was going to fix the economy because there was a depression going on. And they couldn't pay the bond. See, they didn't care about the depression. That didn't matter to them. What mattered to them was when they couldn't pay the bondholders, that's when they started messing around with the money, right? To save their own asses. That's what they were trying to do.
Damn. And the difference is, I mean, and lawful money still exists. You can still operate and utilize lawful money. You can. So do you mind talking to us about what lawful money is and how to actually live in honor with it?
Yes. Yeah, so I like to use these silver coins. Okay, and I'll make bonds with the silver coins. And by using silver to bond something, what you're doing is instead of using debt notes to bond something, which is what most bonds are made out of today, it's all debt-based. You're bonding something with something of true value. So like when someone gets a bond, right? There's a bond is like a three-party promissory note, right? One promises to pay and two people back up the promise. Okay, so if you sign a bond, two other people are going to sign back of it, right? Those are called sureties. Okay, now if you renege on your promise, the sureties are left over to pay, but they've signed an agreement to pay. When I create bonds using silver, I make this the surety. I can renege on my promise all day long, but this will go ahead and satisfy the debt. Okay, and it comes out clean because what it does is that if you have negative one and you add one, what do you get?
Zero.
Right, the zeros out the accounts. So these actually zero out the accounts correctly. And this is what we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing is issuing back instruments in order to bring the public debt down to zero. And once we get it to zero, we can actually be back on the gold and silver standard. Okay. Until then, we can't really do that. But people don't know how to make their own instruments, and a lot of banks won't accept them. Okay. Because they like the debt system and they want to keep it going. Okay. It's the only, that's how they're going to survive. Okay. Spiders survive by making webs and letting their prey walk into it. Right.
Such a great analogy. Yeah.
If you cut the web away and he can't build another one, he can't eat anymore. That's the bankers. So, but let me show you what, because they talk about obligations. What are these obligations? All right. So they actually have it. It's in Title 18. And we go down to, number eight, this is the list of all the public or legal tender for public and private use. Okay. And the first one is bonds, certificates of indebtedness. Now, I've had people kind of scratch their head about this. I'm gonna break it down a little bit. A certificate of indebtedness is any kind of certificate or evidence that a debt is owed to someone that can be certified. Okay, so if you can certify a debt, that's a certificate of indebtedness. Okay, and this is actually what the debt collectors do. So you get a letter from a debt collector, and they say, we're a debt collector. You owe this company $1,500. If you don't respond within 30 days, we'll know that this is a valid debt. And what most people do is they throw it in the garbage or ignore it. And then what happens is now they have a certificate of indebtedness because you kept your mouth shut. And which by law, that's called tacit agreement or tacit consent. And you've tacitly or quietly consented to this being a debt. And your lack of response validates that indebtedness, which makes it a certificate of indebtedness. Now they have money and they can go get it from you. They have legal recourse against you. This is why people lose in lawsuits against debt collectors, because they never opened their mouth and said, no, that's not a valid debt. I mean, that's all you gotta say. You just say, no, I don't recognize that debt. I think their paperwork is messed up. Well, how would this company know if that's true or not? They'd have to go back to the company and go validate. Hey, did this guy pay? He said he paid. And go, no, he didn't pay. Oh, what are they going to do? They're going to take the company's word or your word? They can't choose one or the other. So they're going to just write it off. Like, well, we can't do anything with that one. Didn't certify the debt. National bank currency. That's another one. Okay. Now that's between the banks. So like the banks that make their own dollar bills and they circulate between them. Okay, people used to use it. I think in some areas in the country, they kind of use like a state printed currency. It's a little different, but it'd be like the same idea. Federal Reserve notes, everybody's what everyone calls money. Federal Reserve bank notes, that's the notes between the Federal Reserve banks. That's how they move funds. Coupons. Now, there's a couple ways coupons can be looked at. The bonds. So when you have a bond, let's say you buy a bond for $50, but it says 100, okay? That would be called a zero coupon bond, okay? Which means that when that bond matures, you can redeem it for $100. So you buy it for 50, you make 50, right? When you redeem it. Now a coupon with bonds would be like, you buy a $100 bond and it has all these little tear-off vouchers on the bottom. Those tear-off vouchers are like checks, they're called coupons. And let's say they're for $5. So every month you can take one of those coupons, sign it, endorse it, and deposit it to your bank, right? So every month you make $5. It's a $5 coupon, right? And once the bond matures, you can go redeem it for the money that you paid for it, like the $100, and you'll get your $100 back. Okay, that's the coupon for the bond. Now, what people don't realize is that the billing statements are actually is the entire thing right there. It has the bond information on the top portion. It shows you the performance of the bond. And on the bottom is the voucher, the coupon for that bond. And you're supposed to turn that in, right? People have deposited them to their bank accounts. I can't say it works, but it has worked in the past. But I'm not going to recommend people do that because it doesn't always work. But they could be deposited into bank accounts. The companies do take them. They want you to send them back for a reason. And it's not so they can keep track of your payment. It's because they're going to make twice the money off of you. You send them a check and you send them a coupon. It's like sending them two checks. So that's the coupons.
Because then they're going to be cashing in your voucher on your behalf because you didn't endorse it, right? You send them a blank debt instrument unendorsed that they now get to collect on.
Exactly. Yeah. So now they got, you basically just gifted them. That if you sent them like $150, you just gifted them $300 because you could have just sent them back the coupon for payment to satisfy the debt, but you sent them that and a check.
Are you guys hearing what he's saying here? Is everybody listening here that the bills that come to you a month that you go to work for, you pay overtime, you guys argue, you know, that have broken up relationships and kids have suffered for Christmases, and enter any money problem you have ever had. The issue is, again, because of the lack of understanding of what money is and what we think it is, and trading our time and value and then trading it off for those things is not necessary and actually hasn't been. So this is what Joe's talking about, guys. Now, I want to also just let you guys know that down in the show description is the link to join our trust community. There is so much more in there about writing trusts, and we haven't even touched on trusts here yet at all. And it has a lot to do with what we're talking about. You guys offer 1099 classes, OID, which is also part of this, certifying your debt process. And guys, I just really want to make sure everybody here is listening and paying attention whenever he says that little coupon at the back of your enter whatever you're getting billed for is actually something you can empower yourself with. So just really want to point out what he's saying here. And again, join us in the trust community, guys. I go to everything they do. They do trust once a month, but they're doing 1099s 1 week, PMAs another, national versus this. You've got tons of stuff coming out you do just for us. So I just want to brag on that first of all. And then again, let folks know the importance of the empowerment of what you're sharing here.
Well, yeah, this is the bill pay. Like, if you need to pay your bills, right? Once you understand what money is, these companies are trading securities on the Security Exchange Commission. You can go look it up. You know, you go look up like your utility company, go look up the hospital. You're going to find that they're trading securities. And you're like, well, that's weird. Why would a hospital be trading securities? Because when you get sent a hospital bill, that is a security. You can use that to offset the debt. That's a coupon attached to a bond. Okay. That's all it is. So you can redeem those with them. The hospitals will take it as payments. The debt collectors will take it as payments. The credit card companies, once they see that you know what's going on, they shut your accounts down. So I don't recommend doing it with the credit cards, unfortunately. So we've had to come up with some other back ways of doing it and handling the credit card company to keep the credit card open and keeping people to keep going. And yes, we still use the coupons to do it, but we do it on it in a different way. So you got to do your research with them, because they'll tell you, if you look in your agreement package with your credit card company, it will tell you other or special payments or non-cash item payments. And there is your solution. They're telling you right there, you can do it that way. Okay, but you got to read those instructions, because if you just send it to the same place, they're not going to process it.
Is this something you can find out about credit card companies as you're shopping around to pick a credit card company to go with?
Oh, yeah. I'll pull it up real quick. Give me a credit card company.
Of course
company.
You will. Let's do, can one that's attached to a bank, actually, Chase Freedom, is that something? Because it's still technically a credit card, but it is also attached to a bank. Is there a difference?
Yes. Non-cash payments, address. And I've called them and asked. Sometimes they want you to send it in special colored envelopes.
Okay, interesting. So just depending on, because maybe then they know, sort of like our cover letter for our ROE, we write on it, this is not a filing, this is a revocation of election, so it goes to the correct desk.
Right.
Plus, you wouldn't want a bunch of, you know, you would just want your employees to know, hey, look, if a blue one comes across your desk, hand it to me, don't open it, right? Because then perhaps the employees may be leaking these types of things as well. You wouldn't want this to be knowledge, which is why it's not, which is why what you guys do is so valuable.
Yeah. Maybe Chase might be a tougher one.
Okay, let's do Visa.
All right, Visa.
Non-cash payment address is what you want to put after whatever credit card you want to search.
Yeah,
you could do that. For the audio only audience.
Or you could do special payments or other payments. So it depends on the company. So they'll do it a little differently. I found it a few different ways. Usually just the AI right on Brave will give it to you, and then I'll cross check it with other things.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that's an interesting fun fact, but it's cool to note though, that guys, you can look through your credit card. Is it just the contract, the agreement that you have with them, and it'll state in there whether they accept other or special payments?
Yeah. Special non-cash. Payments, non-cash items. Yeah. Well, right now this thing's being glitchy. So.
Okay. That's all right. Of course, we put it on the spot. So, you know.
Yeah.
He knows. This is the first time, actually, maybe the second time I've seen you not be able to find something. Usually, you're doing it like crazy on the fly, and it's, or usually pulled up already over there.
Yeah, because I can, well, most, like, those things, it's usually in the paperwork. Like, you actually have to pull out the piece of paper and read through it to find it. So,
again,
that's
not
a little
something
different.
not something they're going to want to advertise, probably, you know, especially as these processes become more known and used, rather. And this is another thing to these conversations is there's a lot of stuff that we talk about in the trust community that you can't talk about on here. That's not public knowledge, guys. It's private knowledge for a reason. And it's right. Sort of the esoteric initiations where they used to take people into pyramids and teach them the way things really worked. That's how this is. So it doesn't happen in the open or on a podcast like this, but there's a link down there and you get 25% off your live hangouts. So would highly recommend joining the community again. They're every meeting, guys.
Oh yeah, we have a lot of fun, and there's more stuff we can go and get into on there because it's not publicly accessible, so it doesn't leak out and stuff like that. Because there are things that if we talk about publicly, they will stop and not do, like the credit card coupon payments used to work. Then people put it up online, I being one of them. All right, sorry. And they stopped honoring it after that. So I was like, you can't put those things out publicly. All right. But it still works with hospitals and debt collectors. Outside of that, I haven't seen much success with it on the front end that way. Unless you have to go through their paperwork and go look for non-cash item payment address or other payments or special payments. So they have a few different ways to word it, and it's always a different address. Like you'll see it and you'll go, oh. Mm. So go ahead and take a look at your agreements and go read them and you'll see it.
Because those are some of the goals. And just real quick, those are some of the goals, you know, that we have in the community here would be to be able to discharge the debt from your credit cards, meaning you put as much as you can. And there is a way to put your mortgage on a card, I've heard recently. But this also applies to your mortgage. So any debt, right? Any loan or certificate of indebtedness. So it's interesting to then say, well, then perhaps we can put this on cards and then maybe we go sign up for everybody's Patreons or go support everybody and buy everybody's books when they come out immediately and just are able to support the community, buy everybody's art, you know, stuff like that. That's something I'm very interested in utilizing this feature for. And you said that, again, the certificates stopped working, or the coupons rather, for the credit cards, but you already know the system so well and intimately that you were able to find some workarounds that have been successful. So again, my dream is not lost. It's just been rerouted, right?
Right. Yeah. Remember, like, the guys you're dealing with, they're not stupid. Right. They're smart. They're very sophisticated. They've got decades over you on this information. So keep all that in mind when you start going against these guys, and you know, because people start getting upset and they go, yeah, but these people have been doing this for like way, way longer than you.
That's all they do.
They play the game better than you. Yeah. And they do it for a living. You're doing this. You're going to work. You're doing your 9-to-5 job and you're coming home and trying to do this. It's much harder for you because they're getting paid literally to figure out how to screw around with your finances.
It reminds me of those people selling those little vials of water to your grandma, you know, on churches. And they sell them these little vials of water and tell them it's going to heal everything. And they get these poor ladies to buy these things. That's what it feels like, is these just take advantage pieces of shit turds. And that's why I'm so proud of our community, because, again, you guys just tear things down like crazy. You just see the world differently after one conversation with you, dude.
I appreciate that. All right. So we also have United States notes, Treasury notes, gold certificates, silver certificates, which is this here. Okay, fractional notes. I'm going to point it out, like, why they say silver certificates are on here. Because on the silver certificate, it says that it shall be payable $1. $1 in silver payable to the bearer on demand. So you give this to the United States Treasury, they have to give you $1 of silver. So it's their obligation to pay on it, right? And that's the same thing with all these other ones. It is their obligation, okay? It's their obligation. Fractional notes. Fractional notes are cool. They're like 5-cent dollar bills. Abe Lincoln put those out because during the Civil War, they were trying to reduce the amount of metal usage to use it for the war. So he came up with this idea of printing out like dime dollars and nickel dollars and stuff like that.
Kids walking around with wads. I love it. You know, your ego just huge. You're like, check out my stack.
I got my fat stack of nickels.
A stack, son.
Certificates of deposit. Right? So people think of certificates of deposit as like these CD accounts. And yes, that's an obligation or other security in the United States. Also, if you make a deposit and you get your receipt for that, what is that? Bills, checks or drafts for money drawn by or upon authorized officers of the United States, stamps and other representatives of value. Now, I don't want to glance over this. They said stamps. Okay. Stamps or money. How do you send out mail? All right. People forget that stuff, that stamps are money. So we actually use stamps too as another way of settling debts. Okay. There's an act called the Stamp Duties Act where they showed that if you use the right proportion of stamps, it would settle the debt on whatever kind of debt instrument you were holding. Okay. Because by paying the tax, you satisfy it. And they also say cancel United States stamps. All right. So you have U.S. stamps, postage stamps, any of those canceled postage stamps, any of those things you can use. That's all the currency in America right now, in the United States, that we can use. It's quite a bit. But notice it doesn't say gold or silver coins, just gold certificates and silver certificates, because those represent the real money. Okay, and just to give people a little bit more assurance that Federal Reserve notes are not legal tender, we're going to go to 12 U.S. Code 411. This is about Federal Reserve notes.
Yep.
Federal Reserve notes to be issued at the discretion of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System for the purpose of making advances to Federal Reserve banks. Check this out. They shall be redeemed in lawful money. Oh. So they're not lawful money, are they?
Right.
But they can be redeemed in lawful money on demand at the Treasury Department of the United States in the City of Washington, District of Columbia, or at any Federal Reserve Bank. So that should clear it up when people say, if anyone says, oh, pish posh, Federal Reserve notes are money, then how? If it is money, how come you can redeem it for lawful money?
Yeah. They're telling you right there. Well, you can trade it for that, which means it's not that. Again, guys, yeah. I'm not going to just say, hey, this is fake and here's why. They just say, yeah, it can be redeemed in that. It's the way you look at the messaging, you know? It's the way you look at the world around you. Again, we talk a lot about here, you know, NASA, I don't know what the fuck they're doing, but what they're doing is making me go, some fuckery's going on just because of the messaging they put out. So it makes me question. Same thing here. There's some questionable messaging there, which should make you go, huh? And I think people should be a stickler with this. And you've talked about the IRS, and even other folks we've had on have talked about this, that the IRS, they're just clerical people. They just want to do what you tell them to do. They just want to make sure it's done right. They're just stickler nerds to the letter. So just submit the paperwork correctly and they're going to enact it because it's their job. That's it. It's like this is the equivalent of going to a McDonald's and saying, I'll have a number 8. And somebody going, oh, no, we're not going to do that. I don't want to push the button for that, so I'm not going to get you that. You need to select something else. And it's like, no, that's what I want. So it's the equivalent of this. So the fear behind it can actually be sort of removed in that way, that they're there to help you guys. They're there to take your order just as long as you do it right.
Right. Now, I want to show you guys one more thing about the money, all right? And this is probably the most interesting thing about it. We're going to look at the decimal system, right? And like this Federal Reserve note is a ledger, okay? This is the ledger for money, all right? And United States money is expressed. See what they're saying? It's expressed in dollars, dimes or tenths, cents or hundredths, and mills or thousandths, okay? They're telling you how it's expressed. It's expressed in these terms. A dime is a tenth of a dollar. A cent is a hundredth of a dollar, and a mill is a thousandth of a dollar. And the mills you'll see on the gas station prices, right? Like 3.29 9/10. Those are the mills, okay? Which they don't have any kind of coinage for it. I think they used to have like half cent coins, but it never got down to a mill because I think it was just the increment was too small and not of enough value to ever really use.
We're back to our sack of silver, you know, jingling around right. Everywhere, dropping your trousers.
A mill, like they'd be like, forget it. We're not going to. But they did break it down to that in the case of something like breaking down a penny into small fractions.
Right.
But back then, that's when pennies were actually had some value to them. Okay. So this is the ledger, right? Like our Federal Reserve note is ledgered out in 10 dimes or 100 pennies or 1,000 mils. Or it could be 4 quarters, or, you know, it could be 20 nickels, however we want to break it down. But it's a ledger. And if we look here, so in original, it probably should be hundreds. Hold on, I'm going to show you. The word money, and this is the thing, people don't realize this. This is, whenever someone says money, they're never really saying money. The word money is substituted for money of account to eliminate unnecessary words. Now I'm going to go back to this. These two things here. This is money on account, because what is this? This is $1 of silver payable on demand. So this is the money. This is money on account. This is money on account. That's what they're talking about. This is a ledger. The ledger is complete. This is a whole ledger. Okay. It's like when you sign the back of a check, the ledger's complete. Now it can be satisfied and can go into a bank account. Okay? But the word money is substituted for money of account to eliminate unnecessary words. I doubt that that's the reason.
Like calling those things money, you know?
Right. And it's very interesting. It says, as far as can be determined, the phrase money of account has not been interpreted by any court or government agency. The phrase was used by Alexander Hamilton in his report on the establishment of the mint, 1791. In that report, Hamilton propounded 6 questions, including what ought to be the nature of the money unit of the United States. Thereafter, Hamilton uses the phrases money unit of the United States and money of account interchangeably, and in the sense that phrases are used to denote the monetary system for keeping financial accounts. In short, the phrases simply indicate that financial accounts are based on a decimal money system. Okay, which is smart. It makes sense, right? Because you have to have fractions of things. Okay, I'm sure these guys were dealing with trusts and stuff like that, and things had to be separated out for the different beneficiaries of the trust. So you have to create you have to use the decimal system for that. Makes things a lot easier.
Yeah.
Okay. But he says the phrase money account did not mean by itself that dollars or fractions of dollars must be equal to something having intrinsic or substantive value. That's these Federal Reserve notes. Okay. So he's talking about money on account is just basically ledgering and being able to use that ledgering to offset any kind of debt, which is the system we're in now. The founding fathers did want us to use gold and silver coin because they knew that in the Roman days, that when the Roman kings used gold as the money source for the country, gold and silver, they had uninflatable money for like 5 centuries. It was like 500 years. The money value never fluctuated. All right. And so that's what the founding fathers knew, that kind of history, and understood that and wanted to go that way. But Alexander Hamilton and other guys knew that the way the money system could be made up would be that by using ledgering, we could offset debts using all kinds of different types of paper by using money on account. And that's exactly how we do it. If you look at your billing statements, what's it got? It has the coupon, right? And the top portion is the accounting, money on account. How much is on account? It doesn't say a negative, does it? If I sent you a letter saying negative $80, you would say, do I owe you $80? And I'll say, yes, you owe me $80. But the companies never send you a negative bill, do they? It's always positive. Positive means this. It's the same thing, money on account. People don't see it that way, and then people go, well, that doesn't make any sense. But that's actually, from doing this stuff and living it, it is the truth. It's just that some companies are just criminal. They don't want to honor it on the face.
And they're like all in on it. You know, it makes me think of the 100-year light bulb, because this info is out there. It's not in the public. And again, when you start to enact these processes in mass and start talking about it and making a bunch of things about it, then yeah, they sort of need to pivot as a swarm. They need to pivot, right? It's like a herd of something moving so that they don't all get preyed upon. And it's fascinating when you start putting these things out there, because it's truly empowering for people, man. This is what 99.9% of problems are, right? Is money. And it's because we don't have an understanding of it. But that's the whole point here on the show. We talk about all kinds of stuff, but if we could expand your reality even more, it would be to invite you to rearrange the way that you perceive money and really how it's defined. You know, and that's why Joe is here to tell you about these kind of things, pulling it up, showing you the laws, showing you the codes. And it's interesting to sit here with you because I don't have another 12 browsers open. Usually when I see your face on a screen, if we're in a meeting or something, I've got 12 browsers open. I'm searching the codes up in real time with you. I've got my notes. I've got all kinds of stuff going on. And it's interesting what you said about the thereto and hitherfore and all of those things. In fourth grade, I'll never forget her, Miss Kane, shout out. She's probably super dead now. But when I was in fourth grade, I was just more advanced than whatever they were reading, right? And so she handed me, saw this, recognized it, was a phenomenal teacher, and handed me a Calvin and Hobbes book. Now, I've got pretty much every Calvin and Hobbes book Bill Watterson made. Now, what I did with that and why it was important was she handed me the Calvin and Hobbes book and a dictionary. And what that did was is it expanded the shit out of my vocabulary, because anybody who's read Calvin and Hobbes is not for a fourth grader. But I would sit there and look up words and not know what they were and then go, what the hell does indispensable mean? And I would look it up. So as a fourth grader, I've got this ridiculous vocabulary, but you offer me the utilization of this skill anyway. I'm sitting here as you're explaining things on an 11-minute video of yours, Joe. It takes me about an hour and a half to watch the damn thing because I'm reading case law and I'm sitting here looking codes up as you're saying it and clicking on the links you provide. And it's just incredible, man. Like I said, the passion, but really, I see it. And, you know, even now I found myself last week just overwhelmed, honestly. And that's okay, you know, because if you're into this stuff and you do get a little swimmy with it, good. Just take a little bit of a break, play some guitar, hang out, do something different for a minute, and come back. Because it's here, and it's very empowering, and that's terrifying to some people, you know, because then you wouldn't have the excuse. Most of your excuses actually would vanish when you can really start utilizing this to your effort and effect here. And that's what they're terrified of, guys. This is us standing up and ruining their little game that they're playing on our backs. And it's fascinating, dude. I really feel this is how you escape the soul trap. I know I've talked about this. If there is a fucking soul trap here, this is how you do it. And you've just been instrumental in this. So, like I said, I want to thank you again. We are going to get into our afterthought here. We've got something special going on. Wanted to make sure that we got everything covered here. And I know that there's so much to cover, but hopefully you guys out there are asking more questions about this. And really, go look at your bills, guys. Think of what he just said. That little piece there is them letting you know that if you do something correct with that, you're good. And you don't need to go slave at a job. And you don't, you know, as much as you are. It's just an interesting and empowering thing. And this, we haven't even touched cars or anything else. And that's another fascinating conversation, which you do cover in the community. So
Can I say something about that,
please,
real quick?
Yeah.
So when you go to the bank, all right, or let's say you go to the car dealership to go get a car loan. Okay. It usually this form is called like law, you know, and then depending on what state you're in, it'll have a different set of letters and numbers to be like that form number. Each form is different because they wanted to adhere to the laws of that state. That is a promissory note, okay? And by law, you've just paid off the car. Okay, let me show you this. We're going to go back to this thing again, 18 U.S. Code 188. All right, real quick, because I want people to see this, to understand. I'm going to show you one other thing. So we're talking about... first of all, bills, it's right in there, just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
So, and it's not Federal Reserve notes. If you go look at your Federal Reserve notes, it doesn't say the word bill anywhere on that thing. Okay. So when they say bills, yeah, they're talking about your bills. Okay. Certificates of deposit.
You're talking about your fucking bills, people. I love it.
Yeah. It's bills. What do you think? Someone tried to argue with them. Like, they mean Federal Reserve notes. I'm like, you mean these things? And they're like,
listed above? Yeah.
It went listed twice, you know?
Yeah. Couple commas, but.
Yeah. All right. So here's what we got. We have checks or drafts for money. Okay. Federal Reserve bank notes, coupons, treasury notes, fractional notes, certificates of deposit, and certificates of indebtedness. Okay. Now, a certificate of indebtedness could be anything that certifies a debt. When you sign that thing, what are you doing? You're creating a certificate that you owe them a debt. Well, that is an obligation of the security of the United States, and you just issued it to that dealership for payment of the car. Okay. Now, I'm going to just type it up in another one. This is the rules. Okay. This is their rules. Yes, I'm a human being. I am not a robot. Ray was like, are you a robot?
Are you sure? That's bold of you to say. I couldn't make that claim. I've never seen the inside of me. I'm probably a bunch of gears and shit. Go ahead.
I've sliced myself open by accident.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I used to do HVAC, so.
Oh, got it.
All right. So it happens sometimes, you know. I've seen the insides before. I'm definitely not a robot.
What if the simulation just rendered insides for you because you thought that that's what you should... We're not going to get into it here, Joe. We'll do it in the afterthought. Go ahead. I'll write it down. Go ahead.
All right, Gene. All right. So indebtedness satisfied by issuance of debt instrument. Okay. Now we're going to look at... We're going to click on the definition of debt instrument, and we're going to see a debt instrument means a bond, debenture, which is an unsecured loan, a note. Oh, like a promissory note, the car note, a note. Certificate, like the certificate of indebtedness, they're the same thing. Or any other instrument or contractual arrangement constituting indebtedness. So any kind of contractual arrangement that constitutes a debt is considered a debt instrument. I could write on a napkin, I owe Brandon $1,000. You can go take that to the IRS and they're going to go, ah, yeah, Joe owes you $1,000. And I'm going to go, oh, okay. But if I gave it to you, what does it say here? Debt indebtedness satisfied by issuance of debt instrument. If I hand it to you, I just satisfied the debt. If a debtor issues a debt instrument in satisfaction of indebtedness, such debtor shall be treated as having satisfied the indebtedness with an amount of money equal to the issue price of such debt instrument. And this is where the taxes come in, because the only way you can do this is by utilizing the proper tax forms to let the IRS know that you indeed did pay these guys with that debt instrument. And then those companies have no choice but to honor your payments. Okay. The car note, for example, the mortgage. Okay. That's another debt instrument. The promissory note on that. Okay. Those are all debt instruments. And if you report it to the IRS correctly, the IRS will come back and go, hey, we saw that you paid that off. What do you think the bank's going to say if the IRS says you paid off a debt? Do you think the bank's going to argue with them?
I think they're going to send you your title to your car and be done with it. And yeah. You maybe don't make any air quotes payments because you know how money works and what it really is. And so all the time that we've been feeling that we've been taken advantage of, gang, you have. But the good news is here is your tool. Here's how you free yourself from it. The way that I describe Joe and Bree to the community here is that I had a fog around me and I was restricted in some way, glue or something. I felt like, you've seen the Aliens movies, right? You know, when they take the people, they implant the thing, and before they spring it out, spoiler alert people, they attach them to the wall and some nonsense. Well, I didn't know what that was, but what happened was Joe and Bree blew in like a beautiful gust of air, like an El Nino or something, and just blew all the fog away. And I was like, oh, here's where I'm bound. And then Joe and Bree said, hey, here's a bunch of keys. Like this one locked this one. This unlocks this one. If you turn it that way, counterclockwise on that one. Yep, yep, yep. All these little details. And one by one, I have freed myself. In fact, here. This is where I'm at on my path to freedom, actually. And the E-Verify I did live on one of our hangouts. So this is my little just spot check keeping track of here. My E-Verify, I'm not a fucking voter. I've already checked that out. Never registered, but wanted to make sure. Assumed name certificate, which is great. Got my new car. My revocation of election and passport were done on the same day. Changed my status to U.S. National and my Treasury Director bond account as per our homework, because we have a study group that we do this in, and we go over the homework, and then now my trusts are next, and that is my next phase is trusts and PMAs. So it's been an amazing ride, dude, and really so much has happened since October, all of that since October, actually, and it's been crazy. So like I said, can't thank you enough. We're going to get into the afterthought here, but just want to remind everybody that everything he's talking about, he goes over in detail with links, links to forms, shows you which forms to order from the IRS, which ones are printable, how to fill them out, that the three forms that you need to satisfy and certify your debt. All of this stuff is available through the community. Want to make sure everybody is aware that that link down there will give you 25% off the live events that they do. And then they have all the hangouts, ROE processes, PMAs, guys. The value is insane over there. If you are serious about this, if you are just done with the bullshit, you're done being distracted, come join us. Like I said, come join us. We meet also every Friday for a study group. And that's been sometimes 3-4 hours long. And it's been insane. So, Joe, just wanted to thank you again, give you the opportunity to have the last words here. Remind everybody that all the ways to find you are located down in the show description, his Rumble, new TikTok, and anything else that he would like for me to send to you. Guys, just go spend time on his Rumble. That's honestly the best advice I can give you. Just go spend time, be overwhelmed, drink from the fire hose as we have been. That's how Tam and I describe it. And take your breath and then come back to the fire hose. It gets easier. It gets more of a trickle. You start connecting more dots. It's insanely powerful. So again, brother, could not thank you enough for empowering me and my home and all the people that I come in contact with, because now I can't shut up about this, dude. It's all I'm fucking talking about. But dude, just thank you again. I want to give you the last word here, Joe. What the fuck gets you out of bed every single morning, man? Why do you keep getting up and doing this, dude?
Well, I mean, one thing is, like, this whole thing that I'm doing is because I've... when I was much younger, I saw that our, the way I was taught to see the way the country is and the way the country was were two different things. And I said, no, that's not right. And as I decided to study to see, well, what was going on? What's happening here? I found that really what we're dealing with is tyranny. Okay. We have tyranny surrounding us. It's in our court system. Okay. The lower courts, the municipal courts, the state courts, all the way up to the federal government. The whole, it's just completely backwards from the way our country really should be. So if I can do one little change to this country and make at least one thing right the way it should really be, that's why I get up every day.
I want to take a moment here and thank that incredibly cool dude, Joe Lustica, for coming by and absolutely blowing minds. This is what he does, guys. Check all the ways to find him down in the show description down there. His Rumble, TikTok, email, and the like will be located, as well as his other appearance on the show with Bree Divine. You can come join our trust community and actually learn how this stuff works. This is what I really feel the Bread and Circus is all about, is to distract you from this shit right here. It's also kind of on a personal spiritual level how I feel you may actually usurp the soul trap, if there is such a thing at the end of this thing, because I feel you'd be very hard to fool after you're looking at life this way from now on. So, guys, again, want to let you know that in the show description down there as well, the best way to support your favorite show here is the Patreon link. You can go sign up for a variety of tiers. Somebody take me up on the $1 million thing so I can go putt-putt golfing in go-karts. I'm really looking forward to driving some go-karts. Take me up on that. The tiers are over there. Wonderful way to support your favorite show. In this particular afterthought, we talk time travel, we talk moon, aliens, we pull all kinds of cool shit up. And Joe is just a blast to talk to. And of course, one of my favorite people ever, Tam, joins us, and it is just even sweeter with her presence. So check that down in the show description, guys. But for now, go out into this phenomenally weird world that we live in that just continues to elevate in strangeness and pick up a piece of litter. Be nice to everybody you come across. Get the fuck out of the left-hand lane. You got somebody behind you wanting to pass. And above all, anything else, go out into this beautiful realm we call home for now and just be good to one another. Thank you for watching, listening, subscribing, all the things. We'll see you next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.